Are y'all ready to receive something from God tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. We're getting ready the end of this month, the 20th as a matter of fact, to leave and go to Peru for a conference there, pastor's conference. Everything's going real well. But there are just some things I've got to say about it. You know, in case you don't know exactly what God and I are agreeing on. I thought you might want to know that, what He and I are agreeing on. Father, I thank You right now that thousands are born again in the country of Peru. I thank You, Father God, that thousands of souls are coming into the kingdoms in Peru. I thank You that the city of Pura, Peru, is born again. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father. I agree with You that not one soul will be lost. Not one life will be lost, but all will be saved in the city of Pura, Peru. I thank You, Father God, that in Centura, Peru, the thousands will be born again. That many will come to You, Father God, and know You. Oh, I agree with You, Father God. I agree with You that thousands and thousands and thousands will be born again. Oh, Father, and I agree with You on this also, Father. I thank You, Father God, that all the miracles, Father, You'll get all the glory for all the miracles in the city of Pura. Father, I thank You that hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miracles and healings in the city of Pura, Peru. I thank You, Father. I agree with You, Father God. I agree with You. What are You doing? What are You doing, preacher? I'm exercising my faith.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm exercising my faith. I thought You were speaking much words. Well, I am, but I'm exercising my faith. See, the only way you're going to have faith come into your life is if you start agreeing with God instead of the circumstances in your life. You can either agree with what God says about your life and about things coming in your life, or you can agree with man and circumstances. I prefer to agree with God and what His Word says about my life. And He says this, that not one person will be lost in the country of Peru. He wouldn't have intended for anybody to be lost. I mean, if he wasn't going to give it to me, He gave me the country. So if He gave me the country, He must mean that every person
Hallelujah.
Be born again there. Not one will be lost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So if you don't know yet how to agree with us between now and the time we leave for Peru, this is how you can agree. Father, I thank You right now. Thousands are born again in the country of Peru. Not one will be lost, but thousands will be born again. Oh, I thank You, Father God, that not one soul will be lost. Oh, I thank You, Father God, that not one person will be lost, but all will be born again. Father, I thank You for thousands and thousands and thousands born again in the city of Pura, Peru, in the city of Centura, Peru, and all the surrounding towns, that thousands will be born again. Names of towns that I can't even pronounce will be born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You think you can do that between now, the week of the 20th?
Amen.
And through that, throughout that week, I thank You, Father God, that thousands will be born again. Father, I thank You that Your anointing to teach the Word to pastors and ministers, Father, will go forth in the city of Pura, Peru, and the surrounding areas. I thank You, Father God, that on those radio stations, the Word of God will be going forth, Father.
Amen.
Anointed Word of God will be going forth and reach thousands of people throughout the countryside. Every time we go to Peru, we end up on several radio stations and TV stations. Every time. This time will be no different. As soon as I get there, they'll be asking, okay, how many radio stations can we put you on this time? And all that time, the Word of God will be going throughout the countryside. People will get a chance to, Pastor David can tell you, people will get a chance to be born again over the radio. People will receive healings and miracles over the radio all the time we're there.
Amen.
All So all you have to do, we just ask that you do one thing. We're not even asking for your money. Isn't that different? I got some things to say about that tonight. Maybe tonight, tomorrow night, I'm not sure which. I just know what he was ministering to me. But I will tell you this. All we ask is that throughout that week, Father, I thank you. I thank you for all those born-again people in the country of Peru. I thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit teaches those pastors and ministers, Father. I thank you that every minister has open ears, anointed ears to hear the Word of God. Things like that. You go around agreeing with God, then He can get something done. See, He can only do what you allow Him to do. That's how you give Him your authority. See, He's looking. He's looking for your authority. If you don't give Him the authority to do something with, He can't do it. That's right. That's what I said. He can't do it. It's not that He doesn't want to, but we have to give Him our authority for Him to get something done. I don't understand why He ain't healed me yet. He can't. Because if He could, He'd have done healed you. Because He did it 2,000 years ago. He's looking for something to grab a hold of that He can heal you or set you free from something, see? And He can only do it if we allow Him. He can only do what we allow Him to do because He wants to do it. He wants to do it so much, but only what we allow Him to do can He do. See, that's the way it works. You can accept it or not accept it. If you don't accept it, you'll just continue on throughout your entire life. I wonder when God's going to heal me. When you let Him heal you. Because 2,000 years ago on the cross, He gave your healing. He gave His life and took up on Him stripes upon His back that you might be healed. It was a free gift. You mean I don't have to pay for it? No. A price was already paid 2,000 years ago. Now, He's just asking for one thing. For you to believe it. For you to believe it.
But I believe.
But you're not healed? No, I'm not healed. But I believe. No, you don't believe. You'd be healed. That's the way it works. That's all He's looking for, is that faith necessary that He can get over to you what He already done 2,000 years ago, that you might receive it, see? Oh, Father, I thank You for thousands receiving miracles in the country of Peru. I thank You, Father God, for thousands receiving miracles and healings throughout the countryside of Peru. Oh, I give You glory and honor, Father. I thank You. I agree with You, Father God. Oh, and you know what else I agree? I agree that the city of Ulysses is born again.
Amen.
And turned around.
Amen.
Turned toward God. Headed into revival. Oh, I thank You, Father God, for the revival in Ulysses, Kansas. I thank You, Father God. I agree with You. I thank You for the revival in Ulysses, Kansas. I thank You for the revival in Ulysses, Kansas. I agree with You, Father God. Ulysses is in revival.
Amen.
I agree with You, Father. Ulysses is in revival.
Amen.
I agree with You, Father. Elkhart is in revival. I agree with You, Father God. Elkhart is in revival. Elkhart, Kansas is in revival. Ulysses, Kansas is in revival. Oh, I thank You, Father. I agree with You, Father God. I agree with You. I'm not going to agree with what I see or what my mind says. I agree with what You say, that not one will be lost in Elkhart. Not one will be lost in Ulysses. Father, I thank You right now. I agree with You. I agree with You that every person in Ulysses is born again, walking and serving You, walking with You and serving You, Father God. I thank You for it.
Amen.
What are you doing, preacher? I'm exercising my faith.
Amen.
When are you going to start exercising yours? I thank you, Father, that Ulysses is born again.
Amen.
And in revival. I call Ulysses a born again town. I call Elkhart a born again town. Oh, Father, I agree with you. I agree with how you see it. I see Ulysses a born again city. I see Ulysses saved. I see Ulysses saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. I see Elkhart, Kansas, born again. I agree with you, Father God. I see Elkhart born again. I see Elkhart as a saved city. I say Elkhart is born again. I say Ulysses is born again. I say the state of Kansas is born again. I say the state of Kansas is serving you, Father God. I call Elkhart born again. I call Ulysses born again. Oh, I thank you, Father. I give you glory and honor. And then between now and then, when I'm agreeing with God, then I'll just lift my hands and I'll just begin to worship Him out of what I already agreed with Him about. Oh, Father, I thank you and worship you. I give you glory and honor and praise. I worship you, Father God. I worship you and praise you and thank you that Ulysses is born again. Oh, I worship you. I give you all the glory and praise that Ulysses is born again. Oh, I worship you and thank you and praise you that Elkhart is born again. Oh, I worship you and thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for all those born again people in Elkhart and Ulysses. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that not one is lost, Father. I give you all the glory and all the praise, Father God. It's so wonderful, Father, to worship you over something you already done 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you the glory and honor. And you know what else I might do between now and then? In fact, I won't might do. I will be done between now and then. I'll be declaring. I'll be putting my flesh what it has already been declared, and that is dead.
Amen.
How are you going to do that? I'm going to go without food. We're flattened all the amens. Sure got quiet in this Baptist church. What do you think you do when you fast? You start letting your faith come forward. You start putting your body, your flesh, where it's been declared, which is dead.
Amen.
That's what you do when you fast.
Amen.
Your body has been, your flesh has been declared dead, and you start activating that in your life when you start fasting. That's the way it works. You start putting your flesh in its place, where the Spirit, your born-again Spirit, can rise up above it. When you fast, you're putting the flesh down and letting your born-again nature rise forth and take control over your life. Instead of being controlled by the flesh and by your emotions, now you're starting to let that born-again nature come forth and start taking over your life. And then you can even agree with God even more. And then all of a sudden you start getting rid of some doubt and unbelief. And of course the reverse of doubt and unbelief is faith. The God kind of faith that moves mountains. What are mountains? Unsaved people in Elkhart and Ulysses. What are you doing tonight, preacher? We're already doing it. We're exercising our faith tonight. We're going over some foundational principles that can begin to cause our faith to come forward and begin to put it into action. It doesn't matter what your need is. Maybe you need $1,000 to pay a bill.
I'm going to sow some money so I can reap some money.
Yeah, that's what all the TV preachers tell you. The problem is it ain't in line with the Word of God. I've never seen one place in the Word of God that said you could sow money and get money back. I've seen where you could sow the Word of God in your faith.
Amen.
Can get your needs met.
Amen.
Because He already provided it through His grace, and the only way to access His grace is through faith.
Amen.
I need $1,000. Then you need to get busy and start accessing, using, exercising that faith. You need to get started.
Amen.
Start exercising that faith.
Amen.
Oh, I thank you, Father God, for that $1,000. I thank you, Father God, for that $1,000. Oh, I agree with you, Father, that every need I have is met. Father, I thank you that through your grace, every need was met. I thank you, Father, that it was through your grace that I got the abundance in heaven. So I thank you, Father God, that that need is met. Oh, I give you all the glory and all the honor, Father. I think, what are you doing, preacher? I'm exercising my faith.
Amen.
See, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is or what you need. You start exercising your faith, you're going to get that need met. How long does it take? I don't know. It depends on how bad a shape you're in.
Amen.
How bad a shape is your faith in? That's what determines. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you glory and honor. I thank you, Father God, that every need is met. I thank you, Father God. Oh, and I do thank you, Father. I worship you and thank you that the budget for Peru is already met, already a done deal. I give you the glory for it, Father. I just want to give you the glory, Father, right now for that. I thank you for that, Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Of course, about the time I think that the budget is met, they tell me they need some more.
Amen.
It's that way every time, you know. Hallelujah. But we can't get the gospel out and get those things done without the finances to do it with. But that's okay. Because He has met every need in the past and in the future. Every need that we have out of His grace and abundance has been given. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship you and thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father. Oh, yeah. I thank you, Father God, that the country of Peru is born again. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that the country of Peru is born again. Not one is lost, but all are saved. I thank you, Father God, that your anointed word will go forth to every open ear, Father, and break down some barriers on some that aren't open. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for thousands delivered from alcohol and drugs. Oh, I thank you for thousands in the country of Peru delivered from alcohol and drugs. I thank you, Father God, that they're free. That they're free. I thank you, Father God, that they're delivered from sin of all kinds, Father. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. I agree with you, Father God, that every one of them will be delivered and set free. Hallelujah. What are you doing? I'm exercising my faith. I'm agreeing with God.
Amen.
See, God's not the one that's stuck, folks. It's us. We're the ones that need to be moved from one place to another, from a place of doubt and unbelief to a place of believing that He is what He says He is, and He'll do what He says He'll do. See, we need to be moved, not Him. I'm going to speak to that mountain. What if you wake up someday and find out you were the mountain? See, that's what will happen when you begin to go after God and go in after Him. All of a sudden, you start telling the mountain to be gone, to be cast into the sea, and you find yourself all wet.
Amen.
See, the only thing standing between us and what He already done is us. We're the ones in the way. Things in our life, that's what's in the way. If we have a need of any kind, the only way we're going to get that need met, it's not that we're waiting on Him to do it, because He already done it. We're the ones that need to access that He already done. And so we start moving ourselves toward that goal. What is that goal? To receive what He already done. And along the way, we may have to move some things out of our life. That's why we talk to people about fasting and confession, meditating the Word of God, taking the Word of God and reading it over and over and over, 50 to 100 times, moving on to another book, meditating that Word over and over and over, 50 to 100 times, to get it down inside us. We've got to replace that doubt and unbelief with something. What are we going to replace it with? His Word. Truth in His Word. Of course, if you don't stop long enough to find out the truth in His Word, then you'll settle for every whim of doctrine that comes along. And pretty soon, you'll be throwing up demons in a bucket or something like that. Some odd deal like that, see? See, that's why we teach those things, though. Meditating the Word of God. Worship. Confession, praying in other tongues. How many in here know about praying in other tongues? Just about ought to be everybody in here raising their hand after hearing me. And Pastor David and Pastor Earl.
Don't you know anything besides that?
Yeah, I've been telling you about exercising your faith tonight. But that's why we teach those things, is so that you can access what He already done.
Don't you think that's works?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is works. It's working His plan in our life. That's what it is. It's working His plan in our life. You want to begin to do those things. Begin to apply them in your life. Not just one thing, but all of those things. Do some fasting along the way when you're praying in other tongues. And while you're praying in other tongues, get that Bible out. Wipe the dust off of it. Open it up. Turn to the book of John and begin to read it. Or how about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or somewhere along there. Anywhere. Just get the dust off of it and start using it. How about that? See. How are you going to get truth out of the Word of God? You going to continue to believe every whim of doctrine that comes along? And let me correct one thing before I go any farther, because I'm going to say this before it's over. I'm going to say something like, don't take what I say without yourself going in and finding it in the Word of God. What that means is taking the Word of God, praying in other tongues, taking the Word of God, meditating those books in the Word of God over and over and over and over. That doesn't mean picking out verses that suit your doctrine that you want to believe.
Amen.
That means taking the Word of God and meditating it over and over, applying the meditation principles in the Word of God, which is not taking verses out of context, but reading it in context with which it was written by the Spirit of God. Taking it and getting it down inside you and getting truth out of the Word of God. It's like one fella said, Judas went and hung himself. Go ye and do likewise. That's the Word of God, isn't it? There was two different scriptures I gave you. Well, it was the Word of God, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It wasn't truth in the Word of God. You mean there's a difference? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just gave it to you. See, you want truth out of the Word of God. You want everything kept in context.
Amen.
See, and then you won't end up with that, what the Word of God calls filthiness of doctrine. See, there's filthiness of the flesh. And there's filthiness of spirit, which is doctrine. believe that's in Thessalonians, I believe it is. See? You don't want any of that filthiness of doctrine. You want to have the correct doctrine. Well, the only way you're going to have the correct doctrine is to get in the Word of God and find out what the truth in the Word is. But unless you get in there and meditate it out over and over, reading it over and over, praying in the Holy Ghost, see, you have what the Word of God said was the teacher. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He'll teach you. He'll come and teach you if you ask Him to. He'll be to you what you want and what you ask Him to be to you. It's what He'll be to you. So I ask Him, I say, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, I ask that You come and teach me. Teach me out of the Word of God. Show me. Show me. But if He ain't got nothing to work off of, was that correct grammar? Okay. If He ain't got nothing to work off of, how's He going to do anything in your life?
Amen.
Right. If you don't put in anything in your life for Him to work off of, what's He going to work with? See, there's nothing to work with. He can't. You've got to get in there and give Him something to work with in your life. Oh, Father, I thank You. Have I told You, Father, that I agree with You? That Ulysses is born again. Oh, Father, I forgot. Have I told You lately that Elkhart is born again? Oh, I agree with You, Father, that Peru is born again. The entire country, Ruby. I agree with God. It's born again. Hallelujah. I agree with God. Hallelujah.
What are you doing?
Exercising my faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He's already done it. All I got to do is get to believing that He did what He said He did. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank You, Father God, that I'm free. I thank You, Father, that sin shall not have dominion over me.
I want to be free of cigarettes and alcohol and drugs.
Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Pretty soon you'll get to believing that sin doesn't have dominion over you. After all, you'll be able to throw that pack of cigarettes away or quit that alcohol. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I thank You, Father God, that sin shall not have dominion over me. I thank You, Father God, that You died for my sins and sin shall not have dominion over me. I thank You, Father, that sin shall not have dominion over me. How many times are You going to say that? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. To the point where I'm believing it. Hallelujah. I remember when I was first born again, filled with the Spirit. Well, I think it seemed like, from what I remember, there was a few weeks in between there, just a short amount of time, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks. And when I got filled with the Spirit, the desire for alcohol, that left totally. I can't tell you what happened other than the fact that I was totally delivered at that moment from alcohol. But I still had that faded ring in my back pocket.
Well, you mean you didn't smoke?
No, I didn't smoke. I used the other tobacco, Skoal. You know. And I used it even after I got filled with the Spirit, I was using it. You mean you spoke in tongues and you wasn't clean from that tobacco? Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, if I couldn't speak in tongues while I was dipping that skull, I wouldn't have never got free.
Oh, come on. Right. Amen. Come on.
But I thought, I was told that you had to be clean and sanctified before you could speak in tongues. No, how are you going to get clean and sanctified if you don't have the sanctifier to clean you?
Come on. Amen. Hallelujah.
Got to start somewhere.
Amen.
So it took a while on that skull. It took me a while on that one. But I'd thank God and thank Him that I was free. I thank You, Father God, that sin shall not have dominion over me. I thank You, Father God, that I'm free from skull. I thank You that I'm free from skull. Father, I thank You. I worship you and thank you that I'm free from sin. I used to say that a lot. I thank you that I'm free from sin. Now, you'll always get tempted. I mean, you'll always have those temptations to come and stuff. But getting free is another thing. Getting free means it no longer has a hold over you. That's what that means when you're free. It no longer has a hold over you. See, sin shall not have dominion over me. It no longer has dominion over you because of what He already done at Calvary. See, that's where sin has been declared, that it no longer has dominion over you. And so you get that activated in your life. Start believing it yourself as the first step out. I thank you, Father God, that I'm free from skull. I thank you, Father God, that I'm free from skull. I thank you that I have no desire for skull. And along the way, whatever that root is in your life that's causing you to depend on that medicative, is that a word? Medicative?
Close enough.
Medicative value, that value that skull or smoking has to cover up that root in your life. Dull your senses to that pain or whatever it is that you don't think that you got. You know. Whatever it is, there's a root there. And He goes after that root, the Holy Spirit does, but you got to give Him something to work off of. It's called faith. See?
Amen.
You got to bring yourself to that place that He has something to work off of. See, He's looking for authority. We're the only ones that can give Him that authority. See?
Amen.
See, you got to understand. You have somebody on your side. He's your Heavenly Father. He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. You won't withhold any good thing from your son or your child, will you? Well, even more so will your Heavenly Father not withhold a good thing from you.
Amen.
Well, then why do you feel like you got to bribe Him in order to get money? Oh, yeah, you all don't do that. Listen, if a preacher says that you got to sow money in order to reap money, you got to sow that seed faith, run the other direction would be my advice to you. Because his doctrine is a little bit soured, messed up. Well, I tell you, let me put it a different way. I'm going to use this illustration that my good friend Gary Carpenter uses. God the Father and Adam are in the Garden of Eden. And Adam, he gets hungry. He says, I want an orange. So he goes to God and says, God, I want an orange. God says, okay, give me a banana and you can have an orange. Does he say that? No, that's not in there. You know what's in there? There were all these fruit trees in heaven. All the different things that Adam and Eve needed. Everything they needed was in the heaven, in the Garden of Eden. All they had to do was go up to a tree and pick it off the tree. That's all you got to do, is go up to the tree and pick it off the tree. How do I do that? Start exercising your faith. Start using the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God will you see that it says that you have to give money in order to get money. But you will find this. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He took on our poverty that we might become rich. This is the grace. Free, unearnable gift. Grace. The definition of grace. Free, unearnable gift. free, unearnable gift. Free, unearnable gift. The grace of God.
Well, what about tithing?
Well, let me put it this way. Now we're in this dispensation of grace, and it's by His Spirit, so therefore we're able as an individual to hear God and do what God says. We have that choice to obey God or not to obey God. We listen to Him, we seek out His voice, and then He gives us that opportunity that if we can't hear His voice, we can purpose in our heart what we want to give. If we want to give 10%, fine. But to say that somebody, if they don't tithe, they're going to be cursed,
well, that's in Malachi.
Yeah, he had to deal with those Old Testament saints in the flesh because that's the only way that he could deal with them. They weren't born again. They didn't have a born-again nature on the inside. They couldn't communicate with God. In fact, he had to send a prophet to even be able to communicate with them. So he had to deal with them on the flesh level with everything that came along, including money, including finances. Well, it ain't that way anymore.
Amen.
We're not living back under the law.
That's right. Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Otherwise, we'd spend our entire night tonight killing sheep just so you could get cleansed. I mean, hey, if you're going to practice one part of the law, you might as well, since you put yourself under the law, go ahead and practice the rest of it. Start buying lambs across the countryside, slitting their throat and letting the blood spill on the rocks.
That's right.
Hey, it's time. It's time to get your doctrine straight. It's time to get what you believe straight and right with the Word of God. It's time. It's time to take your place that God intended for you to take. Oh, He wants you to give, all right. He wants you to give that you can get in on what He's doing in this earth and be a part of it because He's given you the opportunity to lay up fruit to your account in heaven. But the only way you can lay up fruit to your account in heaven is a word called obedience.
That's right.
You hear God, you obey God. God says to do this, you go do this. God says to give $500, you give $500. God says to give $20, you give $20. It's called obedience. And in that process, then you're laying up fruit to your account in heaven. Good fruit. Not fruit that becomes trash and it's burnt up when that test of fire comes. See, don't be fooled by every whim of doctrine that comes along. Get in the Word of God and find out what He says. I've given you enough stuff tonight that you can go and begin to search it out. Read that New Testament over and over and over. And I know we're not under the law because I just read in the Word of God where Christ fulfilled the law. Done away with it. Fulfilled it. In other words, it was only temporary anyhow until Jesus reached the scene.
Amen.
That's what that was all it was for, the law was.
Amen.
And when they say, you know, if you don't tithe, you'll be cursed, they're talking about when they were under the law. So don't let these preachers put you under the law.
Amen.
That's not where you belong. You're a born-again believer. You're a believer with a new nature on the inside that can hear God's voice. All you have to do is begin to train yourself to hear His voice. To train that ear to hear Him and distinguish His voice. That you can begin to do what He tells you to do. And what He tells you to do may not be what He tells me to do. Probably won't be. Don't be taken about by every whim of doctrine. Now you can see why I don't get that many invitations to preach about money from pastors. it kind of ruins their tithing offerings. One of the problems I had in Peru, which there's been many, but I praise God that He's, you know, He always delivers you. But one of the problems I ran into there was when I began to preach about, you know, it's okay to believe in the Abrahamic covenant, but the Abrahamic covenant brought Jesus on the scene. That's what it was for, is to bring Jesus on the scene. I'm not a covenant man or a covenant woman anymore. I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God. He's my heavenly Father, just as He was a heavenly Father to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And here was all this stuff that Adam could go and pick from anytime he wanted. He's the same way with me, because by His grace He delivered to me the riches of heaven and took every bit of poverty that I had up on the cross. I don't have to put up with it any longer. So I would tell them, you don't have to be a covenant person any longer. You're a son and daughter of God. If He's your Father and you're His son or daughter, He's not going to withhold anything from you. Not one good thing is He going to withhold from you. Not one good thing is He going to withhold from you. So then they came to me. He don't want you to preach in His church anymore because you tore down the covenant. Well, I knew what He was talking about. I took away the covenant that He was counting on the offerings. You got to give under the Abrahamic covenant where you can get back. You sow this seed faith under the Abrahamic covenant and you get money back. Went around the faith camp pretty strong for a long time, for a period of time. Still does. It's still out there. Just like puking up in buckets is still out there. You all know what I'm talking about. So, He didn't want me to come back to His church because I tore down that covenant that He was teaching His people. And I was saying, you're a son and daughter of God. You just go ahead. You know, He's your heavenly Father. He meant for you to have everything. All the riches of heaven, everything is yours.
See? Amen.
I thank God He's my Father. Jesus said, the day has come, you'll no longer ask me for anything, but you'll ask the Father in my name. Why? Because everything that the Father had, He gave to the Son, and the Son gave to us. So all we have to do is mention that name of Jesus, and it is done, because that's where we go through, is His name.
Amen.
He is our Father, and He is not withholding one good thing. All you have to do is say, in Jesus' name, I thank You that my budget is met for the month.
Amen.
And it's done. Of course, it helps if you believe what you say. But that's where exercising your faith comes into play.
Amen.
I thank You, Father God, that my budget is met. I thank You that my electric bill is paid. I thank You that my gas bill is paid. I thank You that there's a can of beans in the cupboard. I thank You, Father God, for the bologna in the refrigerator. I thank You for the electric bill being paid that'll run the refrigerator that keeps the bologna cold.
Amen.
Father God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank You, Father God, that my budget for the month is met. I thank You, Father God, that not only is it met, but I have money left over to give into Your kingdom, to get in on what You're doing in this earth.
Amen.
How much? Ever how much you can believe in. I thank You, Father God, for $100 extra this month. And then next month, I thank You, Father God, that we can increase it to 150. I thank You, Father God. I believe it. I receive it. Oh, of course you do. Hallelujah. If you don't to begin with, you will eventually if you keep on exercising that faith.
Amen.
I'm glad that God is restoring correct doctrine in the churches. to where there's getting to be less and less of this false doctrine concerning money and other things in the body of Christ.
Amen.
I thank you, Father God, for that revival of doctrine in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Is there any water up here? I thank you, Father God, that there's water up here. Oh, yeah, there is. Exercising my faith. Helps if somebody puts it there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's by faith we have access to this grace. What grace?
I thought that was just when you got born again. No. When you get born again, called salvation,
everything in that salvation, everything is included in that salvation. When you got born again, everything that was the Father's, everything that was Jesus's is now yours because you came into the family of God. This is now a family. We're not talking about religion any longer. We're not talking about religious organizations any longer. We're talking about a family.
Amen.
The family of God. The body of Christ. The family of God. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, are we not? Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. I thank you that because of that grace, now all I got to do is access that grace which gave me everything in heaven is now given to me here on earth. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven.
You mean I can become rich?
Yeah, for the gospel's sake. That's in line with His Word, to become rich for the gospel's sake. He's not gonna be behind you to get rich just for you to heap up on yourself treasures up on your flesh and stuff like that. I've seen believers that actually thought He was doing that, and all along it was the devil. And the devil, you know what he'll do? He'll put just enough on you that he can get you out there on a limb and saw the limb off behind you. But when it comes to God, He will withhold nothing and He will not take it away. He cannot lie. He's not capable of a lie. I think on the website, and if not, we've got it. We have a tape about, what's that about the corn stalks? Me and my corn stalks. And it's this. It's basically this in a nutshell. I'd rather have my 5 corn stalks that God gave me than to have a whole cornfield that the devil gave me that I didn't get, that's not sanctified. When I believe it in because of my faith in what He done for me and I end up with 5 corn stalks, at least I got my sanctified 5 corn stalks. And I'd rather have them than to have an unsanctified cornfield. Because what will happen to it is the fire will come through and burn up the cornfield. Because what the devil gives, he will take away sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. He'll lead you down that path for a long time. But at some point, he'll pull it out from under you. He'll burn your cornfield. Just remember this. I remember this statement in that message. I remember this. When the fire comes to your cornfield and you end up with 5 stalks and the rest of it's burnt, 5 stalks was all you had to begin with.
Amen.
You didn't have any more in reality. How many's been to that WWW thing that we got? Hallelujah. I tell you, there is no reason not to hear the gospel. At least I'm like Gary Carpenter. I heard him say that, at least he can stand before God and know that he done everything to get the gospel across to the people that he meets. Whether it be through the website, whether it be through tapes, whether it be through CDs, whether it be in person, he done everything he could to get the gospel out there and across. So there's no excuse to get before God and say, I didn't have a chance to hear that. About not following every whim of doctrine, including money. You won't have that excuse, because tonight you heard it.
Amen.
And you'll hear it more in the days to come. And there's other opportunities, other websites, other ways to hear it. Thank God for the communication that we have these days.
Amen.
All designed. Everybody thinks it's designed for something else. It's all designed to get the gospel out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what these websites are for. They're to get the gospel out. That's what they were designed for. It was God's idea.
Amen.
The devil's just trying to pervert some of it, but it was God's idea. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. I thank you, Father God, that Peru is born again. I glorify you and thank you and praise you, Father. Oh, I give you all the glory, Father, that thousands and thousands are coming to know you in Peru, Father. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. Why are you picking on Peru tonight? Because I'm exercising my faith. Hallelujah, over that country. That entire country.
Amen.
Guess what? You can be a part of it. All you have to do is lift your hand and say, oh, I thank you, Father God, that thousands and thousands and thousands are born again in the country of Peru. See, you got that opportunity to get in on it. You got that opportunity to lay up to your account in heaven, fruit to your account in heaven. All you have to do is take time out each day in your daily schedule and thank God for all the people born again in the country of Peru, in the city of Pura, Peru. How hard is that to pronounce? Pura. How hard is that? So I might be pronouncing it a little bit wrong. Who cares? God knows what I'm talking about. I'm still exercising my faith. Next time you see me, I'll be exercising my faith. It may be over something else, but I'll be exercising it. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I thank you, Father God, that my body is healed. I thank you, Father, that my body is healed. I thank you, just like we say in Oklahoma, my body is healed. My body is healed. I thank you, Father God, that my body is healed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be. I thank you, Father God, that my pocketbook is full. I thank you that my bills are paid and my pocketbook is full, that I can spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because my bills are paid. What if I owe $1,000 this month? Well, then that $1,000 that comes in, it ain't yours. Two amens. Out of one, two, three. If it belongs to somebody else because you got yourself in debt, it ain't yours to be given. You put yourself in that obligation. Now you got to stand up. Your word is on the line. Now, once you make that payment, and those other payments that you took on, and that's left, now you can get in on what God's doing.
Amen.
This is doctor night, correction night, correction. How many tonight, truthfully, by a show of hands, how many feels like their toes have been stepped on at least once? At least once tonight. Be honest. Be honest. Be honest! Hallelujah. Well, just think. Steps on my toes before you get stepped on. That's the way it works.
Yeah.